Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I return shortly with today's guest, Governor candidate Paul Mango, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Ron Ferguson of Flight 93 Memorial Chorus, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Steve McNamara of Bedford County Veterans. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Well, Paul, since I've been in Bedford County, having moved here from the Philadelphia area, the first thing people say to me, you're not from around here. So I guess I have to ask you the question, you're not from around here either. We're in Johnstown, we're in the Press Bistro right here on a rainy day. Where is home for you?
Well, my home is in Allegheny County, just north of Pittsburgh, in a place called Pine Township. We've been there for 30 years, since 1988. Well, we've been in north of Pittsburgh. We were in Franklin Park, but it's still the North Hills of Pittsburgh. For the last 30 years, it's where we raised our five daughters, and it's where my wife and I pursued our careers, and we've had a wonderful life there.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in upstate New York, a place called Liverpool High, outside of Syracuse. Wonderful kind of community and nice high school, public high school, 4,000 kids, so pretty large. And
So now you've been in Pennsylvania for 30-some years, so you're certainly qualified to run for governor. I asked everybody this, but here you were, minding your own business, nice career, Army vet, 82nd Airborne, right?
Yeah, exactly.
West Point. So you go into business and you work for
McKinsey & Company. Yes,
why on earth would you want to run for a public office?
Well, first of all, maybe I wasn't minding my own business all that time, Lloyd. But I tell the story that the superintendent of West Point, at the end of our first year, so at the end of our freshman year, the whole class trains together, and we were out at a place called Camp Buckner, and the superintendent, a guy named General Andrew Goodpaster was his name, sat us all down, and he said, guys, ladies and gentlemen, let me just talk to you about the rest of your lives. And the rest of your careers. And he said, first of all, the next 3 years, we're going to train you to become officers in the United States Army. You're going to lead soldiers. The second phase of your career will be to actually lead those soldiers. That could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. Some of my classmates are just getting out of the service. In fact, I just got an announcement to go to a retirement ceremony in Vicenza, Italy. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Lloyd? Unfortunately, I won't be able to go because I'm a candidate for office. But then he said the third step in your career is a life of service and dedication to our country. That's what you owe this country for having had the privilege of attending West Point. And that was in 1978, so that was 40 years ago. Most of my classmates remember that, and they are serving the country outside the military in many, many different ways. Some of them are actually running for office this year.
Congratulations. Do you have any classmates that are currently flag officers?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I have one on my campaign who's our chief of staff, who's a retired vice chief of staff of the Army. He's a retired four-star general, just left in June. So, yes, we do have some flag officers, 3- and 4-star generals.
Okay, so you wanted to provide public service.
Yeah.
And obviously you're in Pennsylvania residence, so you want to be governor of Pennsylvania, but what is it about this particular office? I mean, you could have run for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Township supervisor or anything. So why the governor? You kind of went right to the top here.
Yeah. Well, if you know the history of my life, there's a similar pattern. But I think the point is I wanted a role where I could have impact. And people, just to be honest with you, asked me to run against Bob Casey. And I started talking to some senators, and they had a very difficult time articulating what a freshman senator in Washington, D.C. ever gets done. So I didn't want to do that. I have had a wonderful career and a wonderful family. I'm not a spring chicken, Lloyd, and I'm not gonna wait 20 years to have impact. Yeah. So I went out and talked to seven or eight other governors around the country. Some of them were my clients. Rick Scott in Florida, the governor. He was one of my first healthcare clients. He was the chief executive of HCA, largest hospital company in the world. Bobby Jindal, ex-McKinsey guy. Other ex-McKinsey folks, North Dakota. Charlie Baker, the governor in Massachusetts, is a healthcare. He was a healthcare executive, as I was before he got into it. So I talked to him. I talked to Tom Corbett and Tom Ridge, and they all said, Paul, this is the most impactful job you will ever have. You can do so much good for so many people. And so that was very appealing to me, because if I'm going to make this type of commitment, which is a substantial commitment, right? I left a very lucrative role. It's not easy on my family. By the way, I'm doing this as a volunteer, no salary, no pension. That type of commitment, the only way I would do that, if I knew that I had the potential to have substantial impact on, in this case, Pennsylvanians. And boy, is there a tremendous opportunity to do that, Lloyd. It's just so spectacular.
You have any ideas for Lieutenant Governor, or isn't that your goal?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've already identified the one that we want to be, and that's Diana Irie Vaughn. She is a county commissioner, 23 years, Washington County, wife of a 41-year-old Army reservist and retired law enforcement officer, mother of three, socially conservative and very much aligned with not only my values, but the way I'd like to govern the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is through other leaders. Great leaders lead through other leaders. I think the unsung leaders of Pennsylvania are county commissioners. They understand what's happening at the front line of their communities, and she's been one, and she understands that. So, yes, the voters get to choose in the primary who their lieutenant governor is going to be. I don't get to choose that, but I wanted to make sure the voters understood who I was endorsing, and she is, quote, part of our ticket, and boy, she has brought a lot of energy to that ticket.
So what do you feel your base of support is here in Pennsylvania? I mean,
well, we've let's take it from a geographical standpoint, but also from a coalition standpoint. So yes, Western Pennsylvania, I'm well known there. I have a lot of friends and neighbors, and did business there for a long time, and we're confident, and our polls tell us we're very strong there. So that's a good start. Allegheny County is the single largest Republican primary voting county in the Commonwealth, 250,000 votes, so it's pretty substantial. The Northeast, my granddad came from Italy and settled in the Northeast. Before our family moved to upstate New York, we lived in Susquehanna County, not me personally, but my granddad. Italian Catholic, whose family history had a big presence in the Northeast. They love me up there. And the polls show that, too. But then you start cutting across some coalitions. The veterans. There's 900,000 veterans in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm the only veteran in the race. But it's not just them. It's the 100,000 active duty service members whose residence is here, the 20,000 National Guardsmen and women, as well as all their family members. You're talking about a voting block of 2 million Pennsylvanians. That's huge, very important. Labor. We've had a lot of support from labor, what I call the forgotten men and women of the Trump working class. They want a pro-growth governor. They want someone who recognizes that they are pro-family and pro-life and pro-Second Amendment and pro-work. So we have a tremendous amount of support from them. Law enforcement and firefighters. There is a bit of a brotherhood here, right, between veterans, law enforcement, and firefighters, because those are the three folks who put their lives on the line every day for American liberty. So we've created a very nice bond with them, and we recognize their needs and their struggles and their family struggles. So those are powerful coalitions that have nothing to do with geography and kind of pervade the whole Commonwealth. And we feel good about that. And Philadelphia is where my granddad landed. I make a point of that whenever I'm in Philadelphia. So we're making progress in the Southeast as well, although it's a very large and multicultural part of the
Commonwealth. You have to be sure and tell them that in South Philly when you go there.
Oh, I do. I do. Okay. You can help remind them.
First of all, do you like Trump?
Absolutely. I have the tremendous respect for him, his resilience, his agenda. And you know what? He loves this country, Lloyd. He loves this country. And I think everything he does is in that spirit. I truly do.
So do you feel that as governor, you could work with him well in his administration now?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a number of fellow West Pointers in his administration and others whom I know. The head of CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a woman named Seema Verma. I know her well. I worked with her in the healthcare industry. Ex-McKinsey colleagues who are at the Veterans Administration. I know them pretty senior. Deputy secretaries know them well. So I already have a lot of tentacles, if you will, into President Trump's administration. And these are fine people. The guy knows how to assemble a team, right? This is probably the best qualified administration in our lifetimes.
Okay, so I get all these press releases. We're talking about kind of a little pissing contest between you and the trash man. So what's all that about?
Well, Lloyd, we have to ensure that the Republican primary voter of Pennsylvania understands, first of all, what's at stake and understands the differences between my opponent and me. And in many cases, they don't. We want them to have a choice in the fall. And our opponent, in many ways, is unlike, or very much like, I should say, Governor Wolf. Here's a guy who wants to raise the minimum wage, wants to tax seniors' pensions. I mean, I have a nickname for the governor. It's Thomas the Tax Engine Wolf. I mean, the senator wants to tax pensions. I don't believe the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act is doing its job. There's 30,000 abortions a year. I think that is way, way too many. But the senator agrees that that's just fine. And I am vehemently, as you know, opposed to this bathroom bill that could compromise the safety and privacy of our kids. It's not about discrimination. It's about religious freedom and protecting the privacy. So I want to make sure that Pennsylvanians know the choice that they have, particularly the Republican primary voters. And here's what I don't want to happen. Here's what I'm most afraid of. We get to pass the nomination. And if that were ever the senator, Governor Wolf is going to be able to distract Pennsylvanians, Lloyd, from his failed socialist agenda, and he's going to focus on the senator's character. And everyone's going to be distracted. I don't have that stuff in my background. And so I think I'm doing a service to the Republican voters of Pennsylvania by clearly drawing the lines and the differences between him and me. A shorter answer would have been, when you get punched by a bully, you have to punch back. But I want to make sure people understand also the serious aspect of what we're doing in this campaign.
We are speaking to Paul Manga, who is running for governor on the Republican ticket. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about what his plans are if he becomes governor. I know he will be saying when he becomes governor, but for the purposes here, we'll say if he becomes governor. Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. The program is also brought to you today by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru in Bedford and also Homewood at Springhouse Estates. And when we return, we're going to learn all those things and more when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling. So instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We are with Paul Manga, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him for the first time when he walked into the Press Bistro here in Johnstown, where we are. He was all beautifully coiffed in his his white shirt and his tie and dressed like the Army officer he once was. And we're all here looking like slobs in our sweaters, so it's just nice to see you. You know, I always thought for years, having been a native of Pennsylvania, my family's been here forever, thinking that the governor's job has to be the best gig in government, until about two governors ago. And then it got dirty and nasty, you know. And it really was. You know, I remember all the way back to Governor Leader, you know. And these guys would ride into town. Everybody would be nice, glad to see him. No one gave him any grief. It was just a nice thing. In fact, our next door neighbor was a state cop who used to fly the governor around, Tom Corbett. He was his pilot for Tom Corbett. He was a state police officer. And they said, hey, he's a wonderful guy, nice guy. We flew him around and he got there. People liked to see him. Everybody was happy to see Governor Corbett. So the whole thing has changed. And I guess that's why I asked you before, why on earth did you want to do this? So you told me. So what are some of the things that are kind of number one on your hit parade right now? Yeah. If you're governor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we let me preface it by saying we spent about 7 months talking extensively with Pennsylvanians, thousands of them, about what was on their minds. And if I had to summarize it, many of them have lost hope in their ability to what I call pursue and live the American dream. If you're a 35 or 40-year-old who was born and bred in Pennsylvania today, what do you know? You know that factories close and companies leave and jobs leave and children leave. We're losing a lot of our population and that we're always below average in whatever national ranking there is. And more recently that your neighbors are dropping at an unprecedented rate, right, from a drug overdose epidemic. So many Pennsylvanians do not feel that we're winning and indeed do not really have the confidence that they can achieve prosperity and betterment and that their kids and their grandkids will be better off. So the number one thing that I believe I can do for those in the Commonwealth is restore confidence in that dream. That's why we have the theme of our campaign is restore the dream of America to the people of Pennsylvania. Let's bring our jobs and our children back home because they're both leaving. And if you can reinstill that sense of confidence in people, all types of great things happen. The good news is we have everything at our disposal to make that happen. I mean, we are so blessed with unlimited energy resources, as we were talking about, agricultural resources, technologies coming out of our universities, great proximity to the richest commercial markets in the world, a dedicated working, you know, kind of public and people who want to work. Yet we are not taking advantage of all of those opportunities. So I think it's the role of a leader, and I believe I'm interviewing for the chief executive role of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to restore that confidence, to establish a vision for the future that's compelling and realistic, and a kind of detailed outline of how we can achieve that and give people the confidence again that we can be winners. And that's what we've done.
You brought up an interesting point I wanted to raise with you, and that is colleges. In terms of university weight, Pennsylvania has some extraordinary schools. I mean, if you go to the West, you have Carnegie Mellon, you have Pitt. You go to the East, you have Penn, you have Drexel, you have Temple, yeah. You have these wonderful schools, Villanova, St. Joe's, on and on. And in the center,
don't forget Penn State.
And Penn State, I was going to get to that. In the center, you have Penn State. So, yeah, I'm not going to get a lot of Penn State people.
But I'm not going to forget about Penn State, Lloyd. You may do that, but I'm not going to forget about Penn State.
Well, I'm not running for anything, so I'm safe. But there's a lot of muscle there. Yeah. So we go to chamber meetings, and one of our sponsors here, and we hear the biggest complaint is the first thing young people want to do is get the hell out of town.
Yeah.
And they want to go anywhere except here.
Yeah.
So how do you see yourself maybe reversing a trend like that?
Well, I think, and I see this with some of my own daughters, they follow where the job opportunities are. Right. I think we need to recreate those opportunities here. And I think these young folks will find this is a spectacular place to live, and particularly young families. It's easy when you're single and 25 to say, I want to live in New York or San Francisco or Chicago. Well, when you're 29 and have two kids and want a house and a good public school system, your perspective changes. Those are the folks we need to get back here, right? We need to get them back here. And I think the only way we're ever going to do that is with a growth economy, a modern economy, a high-tech economy. A lot of these technologies coming out of the universities are world-class. I mean, I traveled all over the world. People are always talking about Penn. How about Children's Hospital of Philadelphia? Sure. The single best children's hospital in the world. They have an extension campus in Beijing now, right? Or Carnegie Mellon, those types, as you were saying. So I think we have to translate that wonderful intellectual property we have in these universities into commercial enterprises.
I guess what I'm saying is get to another teaching hospital like Jefferson Medical School.
Yeah.
Jefferson's doctors don't say hang around. They go somewhere else. And it's this thing about Pennsylvania. They have coal mines and they have other.
Well,
so that's I don't think that's true.
We have a marketing challenge.
We do.
We have a marketing challenge. Places I go around the country, it's precisely, you know, they talk about Pittsburgh as a beer and shot town with steel mills. Well, there's not a steel mill in sight, right? They're water skiing on the rivers now. Right. It's the center of high tech and artificial intelligence and robotics of the world. It's a banking center. It's a medical center. It's none of that other stuff is there. So we have a little bit of marketing to do, but I think we have a great opportunity. I'm very optimistic.
Our guest is gubernatorial candidate Paul Mango, who is running for governor under the GOP ticket. He's running against Scott Wagner in York County. And both of you are running against Governor Wolf. Okay, so Governor Wolf, let's talk about him a little bit. It would seem to be he'd be weak, but he's not. What makes him so powerful?
Well, first of all, the reason he's not less favorably viewed is no one's defined him yet. No one's defined him. Let's just review the bidding on some of this. So in his tenure, we have grown jobs at about 0.28% a year, a fraction of what the country has done. We've lost population. We're losing 100 a week to drug overdose. Healthcare premiums have doubled in 3 years. He's thrown 15% more dollars into education with no discernible change in scores. And we have a structural deficit. Is he going to run on that agenda? No, he's not going to run on that agenda. That's why he wants to run against my opponent and run on character issues. But we're going to prosecute him on that agenda. And more important, he's not leading. We can all disagree on ideology. And he's a socialist, okay? He's an avowed socialist. But we can't disagree on the fact that Pennsylvanians deserve to be led. This guy has not signed a budget. He's not doesn't have a sense of urgency as it relates to our drug overdose epidemic. He doesn't have a sense of urgency on the economy. I tell people every place I go, the guy hasn't left the state once for the purpose of promoting Pennsylvania businesses. So Pennsylvanians are not being led. They're yearning to be led. They do not view him as a leader. By the way, the Democrats aren't excited about this guy. Will they hold their nose and vote for him? Yeah, probably. But they're not excited about him. So he has a flawed agenda, and he's a poor leader. We will define him as such, and we feel very strongly that Pennsylvanians will respond to that message. We have a positive, compelling view of what Pennsylvania must be. He has no compelling view of what Pennsylvania could be.
You are a pro-life candidate, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So that is not a popular issue in some parts of the state. How do you frame that, especially in the Philadelphia area?
Okay. Let's start with Dr. Kermit Gosnell.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
That's Philadelphia.
Yeah.
If Governor Wolf believes snipping the spinal cords of babies after they're born is a good thing, I'll go up against him every day on that. Yeah. How about Senate Bill 3? The only thing that asked was to take abortion back from 24 weeks to 20. Babies are viable at 22 weeks. That's been proven by science. They're viable. He will not even move it back to the point of viability. I think that's disgraceful. I'll argue all day that those are two things that we can't tolerate in Pennsylvania anymore. And let's see where the chips fall.
But it's become kind of a political picture for people, reframing the words women's rights versus killing children. So is that the way you frame it yourself?
No, we frame it as let's promote the sanctity of life.
Right.
I think that's most important. And I don't think everyone is aware of alternatives that may be available to them. Listen, I understand if a young mother, a teenage pregnancy and mother feels that she cannot take care of a child, that she's not prepared to, that they may not have the financial means. Let's show them other options, adoption and foster homes and ways that we can help these children thrive. So I don't think it's through, you know, kind of mandates and that type of thing. I think we have to change the context for these folks and promote the value of life. And I get this from having worked in children's hospitals. And if you go to an American children's hospital today, saving a 22-week-old baby gets the attention of every doctor, every nurse, every administrator, and to the credit of the U.S. healthcare system, we will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to save that baby. Why is it that three doors down, we are discarding a healthy 22-week-old baby. That's culturally incoherent, isn't it? So I think if we can just promote the sanctity of life, we're not trying to take away women's health options. Let's promote the sanctity of life and make people aware of all of their alternatives.
Just a few minutes left, and I want to get into something here. Pennsylvania has always touted that agriculture is its biggest industry.
Yeah.
And, of course, where we are here in Bedford County, agriculture is the industry because mm-hmm. a good portion of our population works in agriculture or works in an enterprise that sells agriculture. So do you see any way we can keep these farms from being closed? We're getting killed in milk prices right now.
Oh, yes. That. The dairy farmers are really suffering very much. Yeah. And it's not just from... it's from some competitive dynamics, too, with large processors moving into the state. Right. And there's some milk board issues, the way pricing is established. But there's three things I think we have to do for all of our farmers and particularly our dairy farmers. One is, as one farmer told me, you shouldn't have to move heaven to move earth in Pennsylvania. And that's a statement about our regulatory bodies. It is oppressive for these poor farmers, right? Rainwater hitting the ground all of a sudden is a violation of our EPA. I mean, come on, guys. Let's loosen up a little bit on that, which I think is very important. Second, property taxes, out of sight, through the ceiling. I think we have to help our farmers with that. And third, believe it or not, lack of farmhands. Someone quoted me some extraordinary percentage, 20 or 30% of our crops last year had to be plowed under because we couldn't even harvest them. We don't have the labor to harvest them. And a lot of that is a function of we missed some of the legal immigrant wave many years ago. Some of it is a function of government welfare programs that make it easier not to work than to work. So I think there's some things we can do to help our farmers become more competitive, not intervene in the market in a way that where the government is trying to take over the agricultural industry. But we have this, we were talking about Penn State. Penn State's agricultural extension program and the research they do is the best in the world. Our farmers have access to some of the most advanced technologies and methods for productivity any place, and somewhat they're a little bit victimized by that because we have some overproduction, overproduction issues. But the point is we can make it easier for these farmers to do business, let them become more competitive, and I think it'll help them weather the storm.
Well, I've appreciated your talking to me in Johnstown. Here we are in the center of Johnstown, and I hope this place can come back to to some improvement at some future point. Just 30 seconds to a minute, give us a wrap-up. Why should we make you the governor?
Yeah, so I'm bringing a very unique profile to this race from a leadership training perspective. West Point is the premier leadership development institution in the world. From a leadership experience standpoint, and my time in the Army and in business, I think I bring a very unique business background, being not only a Harvard MBA, but having worked with large global organizations who had trouble changing. We brought positive change to large multi-billion dollar organizations. That's what Harrisburg needs. I think I bring a unique commitment to this. I've been on the road for 16 months. I gave up, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, a very lucrative job. I'm not accepting a salary. I'm not accepting a pension. And I'm the only guy who has a plan. We are interviewing for the chief executive role of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I think the voters deserve to know what our agenda would be. And by the way, it's their agenda. It's not my agenda. I heard it from them. We just articulated it in a way that is they can read through it in 30 pages or so. So for all those reasons, I'm hoping on May 15th, your listeners come out and pull the lever for Paul Mango. And one shameless advertisement, if they could go to my website, mangoforpa.com. Give us a look. Follow us on Facebook. We'll keep you entertained.
Well, thank you very much, Paul Mango. I've enjoyed meeting you, and it's been great for you to come and talk to us today.
Thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate it.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, for every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.